energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me, it's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me strongly. If you feel me, everybody throw your hands up and say, we need it. His blessings on me, I feel the grace. I don't deserve it, it's just his pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me, if you agree, can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning to get it in. No, I'm not playing, this is my trend. No, I'm not perfect, I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self, turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop. Hand. Yeah. I feel good, I'm so grateful. I feel good, I'm so thankful. I feel good, man, I'm so blessed. I feel good, hands up.
Hey, I feel good. Hello and welcome. My name is Kathy Clyburn, and I want to welcome all of you to Runner for Christ Ministry Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will be reading the book of Proverbs, chapters 11 through 15, and following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to 0 if possible. A good way to do this is to simply mute your phone when you are not speaking and unmute it when you want to speak. Okay? Just simply mute your phone when you're not speaking and unmute it when you want to speak. Pray for God to bless the class. And let me see. We are going to pray. So. Those are your instructions, so we are going to pray. All right. We just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Bless all the participants and the listeners, and just thank you for this avenue of blog talk and Bible study. Lord, give us your wisdom, your insight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so now we will listen to chapters 11 through 15 of Proverbs, and we will see you on the other side. Amen.
Proverbs 11. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless makes their paths a straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. The righteous person is rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to shake hands in pledge is safe. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Truly, the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death. The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Be sure of this. The wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Proverbs 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A person is praised according to their prudence, and one with a warped mind is despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. The wicked desire the stronghold of evildoers, but the root of the righteous endures. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality. Proverbs 13. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. From the fruit of their lips people enjoy good things, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves. Righteousness guards the person of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. A person's riches may ransom their life, but the poor cannot respond to threatening rebukes. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. All who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Trouble pursues the sinner, but the righteous are rewarded with good things. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. An unplowed field produces food for the poor, but injustice sweeps it away. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. Proverbs 14. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears it down. Whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly, but those who despise him are devious in their ways. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox come abundant harvests. An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Even in laughter the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good rewarded for theirs. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Evildoers will bow down in the presence of the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness? All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. A large population is a king's glory, but without subjects, a prince is ruined. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death the righteous seek refuge in God. Wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools she lets herself be known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant arouses his fury. Proverbs 15. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not upright. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more do human hearts? Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly brings joy to one who has no sense, but whoever has understanding keeps a straight course. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor.
All right, beautiful. That's 11 through 15, Proverbs. Okay, we're going to go through a little vital statistics. Hello, everyone. The purpose is to teach people how to attain wisdom, discipline, and a prudent life, and how to do what is right, just, and fair. In short, to apply divine wisdom to daily life and to provide moral instruction. The author is Solomon, and the audience is the people of Israel, and it says Solomon wrote and compiled most of these proverbs early in his reign. The setting, this is the book of wise sayings, a textbook for teaching people how to live godly lives through the repetition of wise thoughts. Key verse, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And that's Proverbs 1:7. Special features, the book uses varied literary forms, poems, brief parables, pointed questions, and couplets. Other literary devices include antithesis and a comparison and personification. So Proverbs, Book of Problems, and Book of Solutions to Problems. In Hebrew, Proverbs means comparison. So we're going to see some comparisons and some contrasts, and you know, examples like righteous and wicked, and this wisdom, and it talks about wisdom is like the rule of conduct and observations of life. And it said like Solomon wrote the Proverbs, and some definitions of as wisdom, it says wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, quality of being wise, the soundness of an action on decisions with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, good judgment. Okay, foolishness. Foolishness is lack of good sense or judgment, stupidity, lack of good sense, judgment, or discretion. Okay, those are just a few key terms that we're going to be hearing a lot in Proverbs. And so, what else did I have? We're going to get to those questions. I had something else, but okay, so we're going to go to question one. So I want to say, like, Proverbs is a good book. It's very interesting. And it's just like everyday home living life that we hear these sayings, observations, and you know, it's no different than when our parents used to tell us, things that they wanted us to remember forever. You know, they tell us what was going on and what was going to happen if we didn't do what they said, if we disobeyed them. You can do what they said, or you could do what they didn't say. So it's the same thing. You could be disobedient. We're going to go see a lot of that. And it's just like compare it and contrast. Like you could get with this or you could get with that. Okay. And so we're going to get to it, and we're going to go to question one. And it says, what is God's view of a false balance?
Good evening, Kathy. How are you doing today?
Hello. Good evening. Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And that answer would be chapter 11, verse number 1. And it reads as follows. The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Amen.
That's right. And so, I guess, like, you know, we could imagine, like, back in the day, they used to use weights and scales and weigh things to make deals. Pastor O probably could talk about that later. And it was just a way of measuring out the deal for when they get ready to make the deal to sell their product or whatever it is that they have to sell. And so, but when they did it like that, they would make people think that they were getting a better deal or whatever like that. And those are the things that God he didn't like that. God don't like dishonesty. Solomon said it's an abomination, and it's like cheating people. So and to God it was a sense of disgust. And God hates disgust, and God's word is telling us that those are things that he don't like. He wants us to have integrity and honesty in all of our dealings. So if we're going to sell somebody something, be fair about it. And if we say give them a price about something, then let that be what it is. Let's be honest about it. Don't, raise the price up higher. And we say it's going to be a certain amount, then sell it for that amount. He said, a deal is a deal. Don't wrangle back and forth. So, and that's what God likes. He likes honesty. He don't like dishonesty, and he says it's an abomination to cheat people. Okay? It says your word is more important than your pocketbook. So, okay? So your word is fine. Your word is good. Okay? Number two, will riches be able to save someone's soul?
I have chapter 11. I have verse 4.
Okay. That sounds wonderful.
Okay. And good evening to you, Ms. Clyburn.
Hello. Good evening.
Verse 4 reads as follows. Riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. So they're telling you whatever amount of money you got ain't going to make it work for you. But if you stay under the umbrella of Jesus, you're going to be all right.
Okay, so can money save someone's soul?
No.
Money can't save it. Money can help us do what we could do here on this side, but it can't do anything, on the other side in the day of wrath. It can't do anything for us on that day of wrath. We could go to work and make all the money we can make and work, but that money just going to stay right here. It's not like we could go and, pay God his money for anything. He is not going to be any good on that side. So nothing is more important than money on the day of wrath. What is important? What's really important? What's really important and more important than money?
What do you mean? Saving as far as for yourself or I'm not understanding.
And what's more important than money when it comes to God?
Oh, yeah, well, that's self-esteem. Yeah, you got, you came back what he, you came back what he offers.
Our salvation.
Pardon? Our salvation?
Well, righteousness. Righteousness is more important than money. Being right, in right standing with God. Good, being a good person can't get in, but being righteous, being right standing, okay? No good deeds, just accepting God for who he is, for his son dying on the cross for us, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You and I get the right standing. So how do you get the right standing with God?
Living in... being righteous. And what you just told us.
Told you.
Yes, it's your righteousness.
By just by trusting and accepting that guy, that Jesus died on the cross for us.
Okay.
Right. Okay. All right. Question number three. What does like a gold ring and a pig snout mean?
Chapter 11, verse 22.
Yes.
A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring and a pig snout.
Right. Okay. So, so what does that mean?
Well, that means in footnotes 11:22. It states physical attractiveness without discretion is soon discovered to be quite ugly indeed. We are to treat those character strengths that help us make wise decisions, not just those to make us look good.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone who looks good is pleasant to live or work with. Amen.
Right.
While taking good care of our bodies and appearances is not wrong, we also need to develop our ability to think and make wise decisions. Amen on that.
Right.
Amen.
And so it says a gold ring and a snout. So you could fix that pig up any kind of way you want to fix him up. Put a gold or, you know, put some hair on him or whatever you put on him. He's still going to be a pig. He's still going to be just like, you know, a pig. And so it said it referred to a woman and her beauty. And so sometimes we can be so beautiful on the outside, but ugly and hateful on the inside. And that just makes you, when you, you know, look in the mirror, you might be beautiful, but, you know, that inside, that's all you're going to see is what you see in that mirror, you know.
Right.
Okay. Like they say, beauty is only skin deep. And you have to have a good, beautiful heart, you know, in order to be really beautiful. So you say you're just going to look in that mirror and that's all you're going to see. In that mirror, that's all, you know, the only thing you're going to see, okay? You can fix it all up, and it's still going to be ugly, okay? That's just visual.
All right. No, I was looking at her different, you know, like a woman, like, not having self-control and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, so
you know,
as far as wisdom. Mm-hmm.
Not doing things with discretion is nothing.
Right.
And I guess she, you know, in this perspective, like what you were saying, the beauty part of her, you know,
mm-hmm.
that she got that beauty, that's not enough to make up for her little folly that she put out there. So,
yeah. Gotta have that wisdom. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm good. I'm good with what you said.
Yeah. Gotta have that wisdom. They like
intellectual discretion. Discretion.
Yep. You gotta have some good sense about things. You know, you can't be a crook. You can't do things illegal, and you know, you just do dumb, immoral things. And so, those things are revealed eventually for people to see, and they end up saying, well, you know, like they say, beauty is only skin deep.
I go with what you said. The intellectual discretion and having some good ethical judgment, too, would be a great help, too.
Right. You know, drama, confusion, sometimes you just be ugly at heart all the way through, and just, you know, like you said, all you're going to do is look in that mirror, and that's all you're going to see. But when you out in the public, you know, you show somebody something different. You know, it's revealed that who you are, that beauty just is not, you know, it makes it look altogether different.
So you can put on a facade.
See the real deal.
You put that facade on to do a certain way in the public, but you're totally different.
Okay. What is said about the righteous and the sinner?
It's in chapter 11.
How about 9 and 10? No, it's at the end, chapter 31. Check that out and see if that's it.
Chapter 11, verse 31?
Yes.
If the righteous are rewarded here on earth, what will happen to the wicked sinners? Let me read that question again. That's question four?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is said about the righteous and the sinner? If the righteous are rewarded here on earth, what will happen to the wicked sinners? And I agree with you.
I had one and two. I have 5 through 10.
Okay. I'm going to go with 12.
Chapter 12.
Some of them overlap, but they have some of the same meaning. Some of them have a little different meaning.
Your response is to the point.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
number four, the righteous and the sinners. So what is said about them? Okay. So that talks about the saved and the unsaved. And the ones that saved will get a reward, and the ones that's unsaved will get punished. It'll be punishment. So it says, righteous meets out justice to his children. How much more will he judge his enemies? So if God meets out justice to his children, how much more will he be judged his children will be wicked and sinners and enemies. So let's look at the footnotes on 31 to get a better understanding. It says, contrary to popular opinion, no one sins and gets away with it. The righteous are rewarded for their faith. The wicked are punished for their sins. Don't think for a moment that it won't matter, or nobody will know, or we won't get caught. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Something for everybody. something for everybody.
Well, that's what Paul's always saying. At the end, you know, if you're what you got stored up in them rooms, if anything, like how he said, I want to have a couple freight trains myself full of stuff. I'd be glad to fill up a U-Haul.
So, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you. I definitely have one and two.
But I see that you said it's great. Yeah, no one gets away. Everybody gets something, you know. You ain't going to be neglected when it comes to the, you know, the choices that God gives you. The righteous are rewarded for their faith, and the wicked are punished for their sins. Everybody gets something, like Christmas. Okay, let me see. Number five. Will a foolish person listen to reason when they are wrong?
Good evening, everybody. This is Keila. I had 12,
hello.
15. Hello.
Hey, Keila.
Yeah, hi. And it says, chapter 12, verse 15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others.
Amen.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yep. And so, what number is that? That's number five. So a fool is smart in their own eyes. And they don't listen to any advice from others. They only value their own opinion, and not value. And the wise value opinions of others and not just their own. And they matter what they want to know what you think. They want to know what your thoughts are, and they want feedback. Okay. So, but a fool, they just all about themselves, and they you know, say smart in their own eyes, so they only see themselves, okay? Listen to no other advice. Okay?
Okay.
That's none of us. Okay. Question number six says, wickedness never brings what? And the godly have what?
12 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots. Amen.
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 Amen. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yep. So you know, no stability through ungodly means. When you don't pay attention to God's word. You know, if you decide you want to be wicked instead of godly, it affects your home, it affects your family, it affects the city and the whole nation. And you won't be able to establish anything, you know, in your life outside of God. Anything outside of God, you won't have any stability, okay? It affects families, it affects your marriage. You know, we see a lot of that now, everybody. You know, a lot of when you don't study God's word, we've gotten away from the church, we've gotten away from reading the Bible and studying the Bible. So this is the result of that, you know, no stability because you're not following God's word. You're getting with that instead of getting with this. Okay. All right.
So you said... But you were talking about their root. Is that what you said? You were talking about the root, right?
The root
of the righteous.
12:3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
12:3. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. 12:3.
Yeah, you can't be stable like that if you're not under God. You're off balance. No foundation. And it just when you're wicked. And you're not doing the God's way, you're doing it your way, you just have no stability, and it messes up your home, your family, your city, and your nation all over the world, you know. Okay?
So the ones that's deeply rooted in righteousness, them the ones that's like, they got a firm and permanent way.
They're working on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sam, holding on strong, keeping his
mm-hmm.
way.
Yep, stable. They don't have a lot of drama mm-hmm. going on in their house. They don't bring trouble to their home, you know. They don't bring trouble. Their home is quiet, peaceful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, living outside of God, you know, you just bring about all kind of problems. I'm sure everybody can contest to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you say that deeply rooted, that just reminds me of when they be talking about nobody can pluck one of God's children, I mean, can pluck one of them out of God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I know that's what I'm saying. If you deep rooted, that's one of the ones that you can't get out of his hands because
mm-hmm.
you with him all the way.
Yeah. It says to have deep roots and to be stable means to be successful. Real stability and success come only to those who do what is right. Okay. That's just a part of the footnotes. Y'all can read the rest of that later. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm like that.
Everybody want to be stable. Yes, sir. So you know what to do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, question number 7. What does Proverbs say about the wise, knowledge, and foolishness?
Chapter 12, verse 23.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
The wise don't make a show of their knowledge. The fools broadcast their foolishness. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says a prudent man waits for the right opportunity to speak. So we speak and we speak effectively, and that's something that's going to make sense. Don't just blurt out something and be fool talking foolishness, mm-hmm. you know. And the fool, he just spills foolishness. Mm-hmm. Unstable, but that prudent man is a quiet and confident person. That foolish person, man, he's unstable. He's an unstable person, and have to prove himself to others. Have to prove himself. So,
okay. I like how you say it.
Yeah. Watch what you say. At the opportunity to speak, you just think about what you're going to say. You don't just blurt something out that don't make any sense, that's going to bring harm or, you know, it's just foolishness, okay? Yeah, it says wise people have a quiet confidence. Unstable people, fools, feel the need to prove themselves, but wise people don't have to prove anything, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Question number 8. What is one way to have a long life, and what can ruin everything?
Yeah, 13:3.
I
am 13:3 as well.
Okay.
Yeah, these sort of, they kind of stand alone. Yeah. Go ahead. Yep, 13:3.
All right. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Open your mouth can ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
Why you laughing, Aaron? You got that backhand a couple times.
What'd you say, Reese?
Leave me alone,
Reese. I said, he's laughing because he got that backhand a couple of times.
Leave me alone.
Oh, yeah. The younger generation, they kind of say what they want to say, huh? Yeah. We probably all got the backhand, the forward, and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever they can get close to.
Yeah. It says, tight restraint over what you say. It'll keep you out of trouble. No self-control if you can't control what you say. What pastor always say, the tongue is like fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Burn you up. 12:13:3. Okay. Says you have not mastered self-control if you do not control what you say. Mm-hmm. Words can cut and destroy. Words can cut and destroy. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And then, part of the footnotes, it says James 3:6. Mm-hmm. If you want to control your self-control, begin with your tongue. Stop and think before you react or speak. If you you can control the small but powerful member, you can control the rest of your body.
Okay. Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Control. That's right. Thank you, Sister Freeman and Deacon Eric. Okay, question nine, MRC. Question nine, what happens to those who despise advice and those that respect commands?
I got 13...
13
people who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command will succeed. And the footnotes read as follows. God created us, knows us, and loves us. It only makes sense then to listen to his instructions and do what he says. The Bible is his unfailing word to us. It is like a owner's manual for a car. If you obey God's instruction, you will run right and find his kind of power to live. But if you ignore them, you will have breakdowns, accidents, and failures. That is so true, too.
Yes. Wow. That's one way to put it. That's right. Yeah. You're going to always run into some kind of problem.
Excellent way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, bring destruction on
and
yourself.
That analogy of a car, that even makes it better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It says, whenever you despise the word, you bring destruction on yourself. And whoever respects that command will be rewarded. So do what the word says so you can be rewarded. Mm-hmm. And it's always something when you're not doing the right thing. You're like, uh-oh. Number 10, what does it say about children, discipline, and love?
Chapter 13, verse 24.
Yes, ma'am.
Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. So yeah, I know we got beat up pretty good. Yeah. So
and we turned off pretty good too.
That was a lot of love. I'm glad. Yeah, but I remember Pastor used to talk about you hate your children when you don't bring them to church. You hate them. I was like, Granny. He said that long time ago when I first started at Running for Christ. He used to talk about how you hate your children when you don't discipline them. Mm-hmm. You don't bring them to church and you can't, you know, control them in your own house. Yeah. And so,
right.
Yeah, and that's a part of our slogan, victims. We're victims of people not disciplining their children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go on, spank them a little bit. That's just showing love. Yeah.
Okay.
They ain't never killed us. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But it has been painful, though.
Huh?
It has been very painful.
It's painful.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, a little pain. Yeah, but if you keep doing it, you like that pain. Whatever they said not to do, you just keep doing it, and you know it causes for you to get more pain. They call that hard headedness. Mm-hmm.
Oh no, you only got one whooping from Jeremiah for what you don't do the same thing twice.
No. Yeah, I must have liked the whoopings because I got them regularly all the time. They said I was hard-headed, but I don't believe it. Y'all don't believe I was hard-headed, I know. That's what they said. I was hard-headed. Yeah.
Well, my grandma said, hard-headed to make it so fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did get them. Good enough. It's over now, hey.
Yeah. Now we can give up the somebody for the hard head.
Right. I like to just look at you hard. That's all I can do.
Right.
They think I'm a get them. Yeah. You know, I know I used to pinch them real hard when I was in church. They still talk about it, how I used to pinch them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My ears used to get twisted. Let me see, 11. What is the difference between a wise woman and a foolish woman?
What number is that?
11.
I have one. I think it was 14 women, if I ain't mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I have 14 women, too.
Okay. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So a wise woman. Mm-hmm. So when you wise, you make wise decisions. You build a home, and like we said earlier, you don't bring trouble to your home, and foolishness and things like that. Those things like that affects a person's home, and they somewhere in there. I know that they talked about wisdom as being the woman, as being called woman. Let's see. What were you going to say?
A woman has the opportunity to make it a peaceful or a evil home. I mean, the guy has to play his part, too.
Mm-hmm.
But women kind of got a little more control on that situation. Or making the peaceful, or that's just
it's about having God in your home, hearing His word, reading His word, and then deciding whether you're gonna, walk His word out. What you're gonna do about His word?
One of them is a godly woman that can make it a peaceful home, and the other one is materialistic or whatever. Which is called, she always in the mall spending up the money and all that stuff. And that brings on a bad home.
Yeah, that brings about foolishness. Wisdom builds up your home. It makes you strong, builds it up in strength. Following God's word and, like I said, reading it and deciding whether you're going to walk it out and follow it. But foolishness, you get into the world, you have attitude about, different ideals about what life is and what building a home or having a home is, and those things that tear a home down. It's like you're centered on yourself. As the center. Huh?
If a guy is doing what he's supposed to do at the household, it should come out as a wise woman with him. If he's doing his part, if the man is doing what he's supposed to do in the household, and she's following him because he's following God, then it's going to be a peaceful household. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's a team. It's a team thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking would make it a nice, peaceful home. If he like I say, he has to play his part.
Yeah, they both have to be under God. Yeah.
Yeah. Him being the head of the house, if he do what he's supposed to do, everything else should flow peacefully.
That's right. So I guess what it says is God, it's him, and then it's his wife. And so, no, that's the way it says both feet. So, both of them have to make good, sound decisions, not folly, and folly is foolishness, and doing it the way God wants it to be done. And and making decisions according to and based on God's word. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good discussion. Okay, wow. Number 12. What type of person seeks wisdom but cannot find it? That's number 12. What type of person seeks wisdom but cannot find it?
Okay, can we go with 14:6? Did you say it? Did you say it, Big Brother?
I'm asleep. I didn't say that.
I have 14:6.
I got 14:6 and the footnotes. Weezy, would you like
it? It is.
Okay.
Good.
All right. I can go ahead and read that. 14:6, and it says, a mocker seeks wisdom and never finds it, but knowledge comes easily to those who understand. And the footnotes read, we all know mockers, people who scoff at every word of instruction or advice. They never find wisdom because they don't seek it seriously. Wisdom comes to those who apply God's word to their lives and seek out godly counselors.
Mm-hmm.
If the wisdom you need does not come easily to you, perhaps your attitude is a barrier. Can I get an amen on that?
Well,
amen.
All right, a barrier. You know what that
is. You're blocking it from happening.
Right.
They get the what a barrier, right. Mhm. All kind of roadblocks, yep. Mockers and scoffers. They defy and renounce the truth and good things not only to their own detriment, to their own detriment and destruction for others. They're disagreeable, they're unpleasant people. Disbelievers, they treat you with contempt or ridicule. And scoffers are a person who mocks or makes fun of someone or something, often of religious or moral value. Yeah. So, yeah. They got their own life. They have their own God that they're recognizing. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So number 13 says, what does it say about the poor and their maker?
Chapter 14, verse 31.
Yes.
The one who oppresses the poor insults their maker, but helping the poor honors him. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And who is the maker?
Hold on.
Who is the maker?
Jesus.
God.
Mhm. Yep. God. Mhm. So honoring it's honoring to God to be generous to the needy. Yeah. Okay. So. God is pleased with those. What's the other word that they use? That's number. It says it insults him. It insults their maker, and by helping the poor honors him. Mm-hmm. So yes, God is very pleased with. Helping the poor and the needy. Okay. All right.
So if you sin, if you oppressing the poor in God's eyes, you sin against them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Against God,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he said God has a special concern for the poor. He insists that people who have material goods should be generous with those who are needy. Providing for the poor is not just a suggestion in the Bible. It is a command that may require a change of attitude. Mm-hmm. See Leviticus 23:22 and those other ones. Okay.
Okay.
He said that's a command. Mm-hmm. Change of attitude. All right, now share.
They show mercy, and they need to show mercy and needy to the ones. Mm-hmm. To show mercy to the needy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have plenty, then share. Yeah. If you don't have plenty, you can still share.
Yeah. And then usually you can't without causing material injury to yourself.
Right. Right. God will give you what you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mhm. Let me see. So number four. Any more questions or comments on that? Okay. So number 14. Can your words cause others to become angry?
I didn't answer that one. I answered it, but I don't feel it was right. So I.
Can your words cause others to become angry?
I got chapter 15, verse 1.
Yes.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. 15:1.
A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
That is it. And that's number
what was the question?
15:1. Yes, it was.
The question was,
can your words cause others to become angry?
Yeah.
So your words, okay? And so, thank you, reader.
Okay.
So, it's the way you respond. You can respond with the a soft, gentle response, and that'll disarm the whole if someone did something to you or whatever, or you did something, you know, that'll just disarm it if you say something soft and gentle to that person. If you get loud and just keep an argument going, it'll just make things worse. And you can apologize, ask for forgiveness, because sometimes people don't expect that. They don't expect if it's an argument or something going on, or somebody saying something, you know, that's not kind or whatever. Diffuse it by just apologizing or asking for forgiveness, because people don't really expect you to do those things. So when you just be the bigger person and, you know, just maybe apologize and say, I really apologize, and would you forgive me whether you did something or not, you know, they'd be like, oh, you know, wow, look how they handled that, you know. Instead of going back and forth. And so, because after you start to argue and stuff, then you get, when you get away from that person, or, you know, you never know what will happen. And once you get home or whatever, you think about, God, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have just, you know, not ever even said anything, you know, because sometimes things get blown out of proportion. And so this is what I like. I like, my mom always said, kill people with kindness, you know. And that works for me. You cannot do anything with that, but, you know, you can't. It works for me.
Even with anger, Even with anger, they have to accept it. They might still want to be angry, but they have to accept it. Like, she apologized to me, and I should have really apologized to her, but she apologized.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I buy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how we teach. That's how we teach the kids, and that's how we teach other adults. Huh?
I'm sorry, they not had it. When Pastor O, he did a message a while back.
Uh-huh.
I want to say it was sometime last year. and about that not having the last word. That's, I think, that message out of all the ones he's done, that would stick the most with me as of now. I mean, each one of them have one that stick with me. Jonathan, Janice, they all have a message that sticks with me consistently. But that one there, that's the best one I got from him as of now. I got on hold.
Yeah, you kill people with kindness and just be kind. What can they do with that? They can't do anything with that, but, you know, calm down and say, oh, or jump back and be like, wow, you know, that was nice. Or, you know, they might, like you said, they might still be mad, but, you know, yeah.
As long as they just walk away, I'm good.
Yeah, because sometimes it might be a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding. You're not really supposed to go to bed mad about things, you know. Or let that day go out, you know, with you having something on your mind that's, that you haven't settled, you know. So I like that. A kind word is a soft and gentle response. Because the kids are watching, and we are not ever too old to learn, so we can still learn. Okay, how to respond to situations, and it'll keep you alive in some instances. Okay, all right, number 15. Will those who hate correction be saved?
Number 15.
Number 15. Will those who hate correction be saved?
I am 19.
15, 19. Look at 15, 10.
Well, I had 8.
I had 2 answers. I had 8 through 10, and then I had 19. So 8. Okay.
I see now. I see. I didn't have that. I had 8, and you got 10. Okay. Okay.
Yep. Someone want to read that?
Whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. Whoever hates correction will die. Amen. Short and brief.
So, right. So will they be saved?
No, but I'm 19. Okay. I'm 19. It says, a lazy person's ways is blocked with barriers, but the path of the upright is an open highway. So that's why I'm 19.
Okay. Hold that thought, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so it's 15:10. So, yeah, thanks, Eric. And so it says, he who hates correction will die. The one who rejects God's loving and merciful correction seals his own fate and sets his own course. They are on the way to death and will remain there. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
The last one is, what does Proverbs say about a lazy person and the upright? Breezy? Hello?
15:8? No?
Hello?
I'm here. Hello. Everybody still there? Yep, I'm reading it. It said, what does Proverbs say about a lazy person and the upright?
13:4
I had 19. Okay, oh, that's what you read earlier. That's why I told you to hold that thought.
And I had 8.
So, yep, that's it. 15:19
Okay, and the prayers of the upright. Hold on, where's my questions at? Let me just pull that back up. Let those who hate correction be saved. And what does Proverbs say about a lazy person and the upright? So how did I get... He delights in prayers of the upright. I guess that's where I got that from. Okay, well, I'm wrong, Miss Teacher.
That's okay. You want to read it again, Reese?
A lazy person's way is blocked by barriers, but the path of the upright is an open highway.
So, the way of the upright is a highway. The wise man or woman, upright and hardworking before the Lord, does not know the same constant troubles and irritations of life that the lazy man must endure. Life for the upright is much more smooth and efficient in its progress. Okay. And then somebody want to read the footnotes in 15, 17 through 19.
I can't because I'm on my tablet.
Okay.
Where are we at?
Okay. The path of the upright doesn't always seem easy. But look at the alternatives. Hatred, dissension, and laziness cause problems that the upright person does not have to face. By comparison, his or her life is a smooth, level road because it is built on a solid foundation of love
mm-hmm.
to God. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Do it God's way. Yeah. We bring trouble to ourselves when we can't get what we want. You know, we don't go to work. We can't get what we need and what we want. And God can't bless you if you're just laying around and not, you know, bringing anything to the table and doing anything for him. Okay. All right. Let me see. I had what time we got here. We got a few more minutes. I had a few more that we could go through. 11:10 Going back to 11:10, it says, so we're going to do 11:10, 13 through 25, and is that 11:17? 11:17. Okay. So going back to 11:10 says, says, your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Okay? So, with that, it says, a kind man will benefit self because he's sowing seeds of kindness, but a cruel person will reap cruelty because he's sowing seeds of cruelty. So it's the reaping and sowing, weeping and sowing. So you get what you give. So if you put out bad seeds and not be kind, you get kindness. And be kind, you get kindness. So if you sow cruelty, plant cruel seeds, you get cruelty. Okay? 11:17. Mm-hmm. And then So 11:10 says okay. One minute. Okay. 12:11. Chapter 12:11. Oh, no, it's 12:10. It says, the godly care for the animals, but the wicked are always cruel. And that's having compassion for animals and not being cruel to them. Okay. 12:10. Because you cruel to animals, you'll be cruel to a person as well. Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm. It said, godly care for the animals, but the wicked are always cruel. Yeah, you have to have compassion for them, not cruelty. Cruelty to animals. Okay. What about 13:25? This is a good one. Which says, the godly eat to their heart content, but the belly of the wicked goes hungry. Okay? And that has to do with being content. It says, godliness produces satisfaction, and the ungodly person is never, ever satisfied. Okay? Never content. No matter what you do, they're never satisfied and they're never content. They can have all the riches and have all the food and all the everything that they need. And you know anybody like that? Just never, ever, ever satisfied, never content with anything. So that was another one. I can't remember which one. I think 27, number 27. This is a good one. There's so many. Did anybody have one that they want to read? Okay. I can't remember what this one was. I think it was chapter, let's see. 12:27. Let me see if that's it. Nope. 27. Okay. Pastor probably know what it is. Fear the Lord, because it says fear the Lord is to accept instructions and wisdom and have a humble heart. Okay. That's the fear of the Lord. Okay. So that's it. Hey, still got a little time and good class, and thanks everybody for participating. And Pastor, turn it over to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Good class. Heard everything. Everything went well.
Cool.
Good discussion. Good ferreting out. I did come across mm-hmm. one thing. Y'all probably don't have this unless you got Bible Gateway. And mm-hmm. as soon as it decides to open and load, I will be ready. Okay, I want to read you something. This is an overview of the book, but it's something in here I want you to get. Okay, from daytime talk shows to advice columns and self-help books, our culture is glutted with information, but often starved for wisdom. The complexity of life requires practical counsel that is also meaningful, meaningfully spiritual. Proverbs offers the spiritual depth to issues like managing money, the dangers of adultery, learning how to identify true friends, and so much more. Here you'll find wisdom that works and insights that won't wear out. The NIV Quest Study Bible says, pay close attention to the differing outcomes of those who follow God's wisdom and those who don't. As you read Proverbs, watch for contrasting issues such as foolishness and wisdom, laziness and diligence, adultery and faithfulness, true and false friendships. Look for principles that build strong marriages, undergird faithful parenting, and establish good relationships on the job. So Proverbs is a book that can help you in navigate almost every area of your life, because we all exist in all of those different things that I just read. All sometimes every day we exist in one of those or all of those or a number of those areas. And so if you read Solomon, what he is saying, simply put, is do it God's way in whatever it is that you're doing, and you win. Do it your own way. It's what Keila was talking about over there in James chapter 3, that if you can control the tongue, it literally says that over there. If you can control your tongue, then you control your whole body. Now, you have to wonder, how can controlling my tongue control everything? Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So then you have to back that up to what's in the heart. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if your heart is filled up with these proverbs, with God's word, with God's way of talking and speaking, okay, and you guard your mouth with the things that you say, okay, then what's on the inside never gets a chance to come out. Okay, and the more you fill up with God's word, the less you'll have of you. It'll literally be more of him and less of you. Every word will be challenged by God's word. You know, it was one thing when we weren't saved and we didn't know that God detests lying lips. Well, once we learn that God detests lying lips, the next time our lips get a chance to lie, then God's word should speak to us and say, now, you know I detest lying lips. I just want you to know before you tell this lie you're finna tell. So, it becomes one of those things. It gets real personal with you. I noticed that early on in my walk with the Lord, that the more I studied and the more things he taught me, when I tried to do the thing I used to do again, I would get punished for it like I had never been punished before. And I would say to the Lord, now, this never happened before I met you. And then I began to see the difference. Now it's like my father. He used to tell us stuff, don't do this, don't do that. Then when we do that stuff, he would say, didn't I tell you? It was one thing when we didn't know, but when we knew, we became obligated to live according to what he told us. And so that's the way it is with God's word. You fill up on it and it will automatically. But now here's what has to grow: your love for the Lord. You hear me talk about skipping church and going drag race, and I did that because I didn't love the Lord as much as I should have. I should have loved him more than I loved drag racing. I should have been able to take up my cross and follow him. Deny myself, but I wasn't about to deny. It's funny, when we want what we want, we will actually hear Jesus saying, hey, yeah, go ahead, do that. I understand. I know why you know, but no, he don't understand that. And I found that out the hard way. So the best thing to do to make your life was, according to Solomon, is pay attention like in chapter 11, where it talks about the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but delights in accurate weights. Those things were used in the marketplace. That's what Jesus chased those folks out of the temple for, because they were cheating people.
Right.
They had dishonest scales. Mm-hmm. They would make those weights weigh in their favor and make you pay more than you were supposed to pay. So they were dishonest. They were like the publicans, the tax collectors, like Matthew. That's why people hated them, because Rome wanted them to collect 4% from this particular province. Well, they were that's what Rome wanted. So how does he get paid? Well, he has to gank you for more than 4%. So the Lord did not like that. And he does not like it when we're dishonest in business. One time, I went to buy, y'all remember I had the 1970 Cuda that I drag raced, right? The way I got that car, me and Sheila was, baby Holy Ghost was out doing our work, and I saw it sitting in somebody's garage. And when I came back to the truck, I told her, I want that, I like that. And of course, she was like, how can you look in somebody else's garage and want what they got? What's wrong with you? But anyway, I prayed about it. And then something came up, and I ended up getting a chance to buy it. And so I was haggling with the person who was selling it. I knew what it was worth. Without a motor and an engine, because of the kind of race car it was worth at least $5,000 to $7,000 because of what the way the chassis was set up. That's what it was all about. I didn't have to have a motor, a trans, and none of the rest of that stuff. That don't count in racing, because you always have your own. Anyway, we started haggling. We went to $1,000. We went to $2,000. We came down to $1,500. Then we came back down to $1,000. Made the deal. I was satisfied with the deal, but Jesus wasn't satisfied with the deal. He told me I should at least give him this much. So I say, Lord, you mean I got to walk back there and tell him to take that price higher and give him extra? And he's like, if you want me to be in on this deal, you need to do what's right. And so I had to go, how do you think I looked going back to the guy I just talked down to a grand? And now I got to tell him I got to up that. You selling it for too little. I did it. Put the car on the trailer and took it on home and raced it. But that's how the Lord is. When I started the business in 1992, August 27th is when we started. He said, if you want me involved in your business, there can be no cheating, no tax dodging, none of this stuff. If you want me to be in it, it has to be a totally straight up legal business. It cannot be like that stuff you used to do. Okay, so early on, right from the beginning, I had to do everything legally, because there are so many corners you can cut in business, but I couldn't do that. I had to do it legally. And he blessed us to get through some really hard times when the gas prices went high like they are now. When it happened before and it was up $3-4, a $9 bag of fertilizer turned into a $17 bag of fertilizer. That does severe damage to your profit margin. But God blessed us to not miss a beat. And we didn't have to pass the extra cost on to our existing customers. It was added to those who are becoming new customers. And that made up the difference. And so we never had to cheat anybody or overcharge anybody or any of those kinds of things. And we always erred on the side of the customer when they would say, I paid you. We knew they didn't, because we kept straight up records. You know, maybe Holy Ghost, you know, gift of administration's business decree, she kept straight up good records. She recorded everything. If you had a conversation with her, she wrote that on your card. But, you know, we would err on their side just to, you know, keep them as a customer and keep everything fair, you know, even though we were being done wrong. But, yeah, the Lord is all about that. And these proverbs will help you to navigate your way through a whole lot of situations. like what Rebecca read about, a soft answer turns away wrath, you know, and how to stir up wrath. That will keep a lot of married couples from fussing and fighting and show you ways to defuse fusses and fights. Okay? Okay. So, good class, Kat.
Good.
But I know you always run a good class because, you know, and we, you know, I knew you would run a good class. That's no problem at all. And I knew you would get into those footnotes. Those footnotes, they help you to understand what God is trying to say to you. They are literally there to help show you how to live the life. You know, and I pray and trust that you guys read the five chapters before we get to the evening. Even though it's going to be read, you should read them yourself. But if you don't read them yourself, here's what the Lord blessed me with. A lot of people say that they can't control their thoughts or stop thinking the thing they don't want to think. one of the things I inadvertently learned from listening to the Bible the way we do is it teaches you to keep your mouth shut and to keep your mind shut up, to literally tell it to shut up. Because you here's a challenge. Next week, if you go to Bible Gateway, I have the premium service, but I believe they'll let you just click up the NIV version, and then you go to the next five chapters that we're going to study. And try to just sit there. You can actually, once you click play, you can click back and read the words along with him as he's reading. Or challenge yourself. Sit there and just listen to him and don't say anything out of your mouth and don't say anything in your mind. But hear every word he says. Now, if you choose to read along with him, and let him do the reading while your eyes see every single word, challenge yourself. Because, see, you'll get to reading these scriptures. The reason I do it this way is because I used to read it out the Bible, but then I would stop and start going over a scripture, analyzing it. And before you know it, I done read three scriptures in an hour. But that wasn't Bible reading. So I got these programs. And they challenge you to keep your mouth shut and to keep your mind from thinking about anything but what you're hearing. Now, if you can do that, here's the blessing. The Holy Spirit will talk to you as you're going through these verses. He'll footnote you. He will. You will understand exactly what these verses mean without having to dwell on it. He'll teach it to you. Just that quick, because these proverbs are one saying this. For instance, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Pride leads to disgrace, but humility comes to wisdom. See, they're two different things. But he'll explain it to you as you're going through. So challenge yourself and see if you can make it through without missing a word that's said. And if you miss a word and you know you did, Just mark, put a mark down, and you will see how attention challenged we can be, how hard it is for us to pay attention. But once you learn that, one thing that you're going to get is you're going to get closer to God, and you're going to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Another thing you're going to get is you're going to learn how to control your thoughts. Okay, you're going to learn how to control your thoughts, and you're going to learn how to listen and listen carefully. The Bible tells us in James, I think it says in James, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. So challenge yourself and see if you can do that. Okay, let me give you these announcements. Bereavements, June 11th, our own sister Anita Chambers, in the homegoing of her mother. The service is going to be 10 a.m. is the family hour, and 11 a.m. is the homegoing. That's going to be at Community AME Church, Community AME Church, at 4010 17th Street, Ecorse, Michigan. 4010 17th Street, Ecorse, Michigan, right on 17th and Saliette. Keep Anita Quinaya and Lisa Thornton and the entire family in prayer. Also on June 11th, our own Keela Freeman. Auntie Elizabeth Bailey went home to be with the Lord, and she was a big supporter of Runner for Christ Ministry, so we thank God for her. Her services will be at Cora Funeral Home at 3 p.m. in River Rouge. Okay, that's going to be June 11th, same day as Anita's, but Anita's at her in the morning. This one's in the evening. Keep Keela and her family in prayer. I believe I will be bringing the eulogy. Now, Kat, is that going to be 3 p.m.?
It's going to be 3 p.m. family hour and 3:30 funeral service.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So don't forget to keep Nico Gaston in your prayers. She's having health issues. And pray for all the mothers on the move, for our country and our children. Okay, as they approach the ending of their school year for summer. Keep our president and our leaders in prayer. If you look at our country, Jesus, they need it. They need help.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a little bit on a tiny bit. Keep them in prayer, y'all, because the Lord is getting ready to put them through the ringer. So definitely keep them in prayer because they are going to need it because God got them in the ring. Okay, and that's all I got.
Pastor, okay, and keep John Mack in your prayers. He needs us all to pray for him.
Okay, we got him.
Yep.
Okay, now you can close us out with prayer and then we'll be through.
All right. Amen. Thank everybody for participating and listening, all the listeners. Okay, so are you going to get with this, God's word, or that, the world? God said it. God said if you do this, he will do that. Do you want a life of peace or you want a life of chaos? Thank you. Lord, thank you for your word. You are so good, and your mercies endure forever. We just thank you for the lesson today. We thank you for the listeners. We thank you for the participants. Lord, we just thank you for your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. And we just thank you and pray for all the sick and all the shut-in and the bereaved. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay. Oh, wait a minute. This Saturday, who preaching this Saturday? Pastor Terrence Tate, I believe it is. And then, let me look at this list before I get that wrong. No, it's Jonathan Tate. Yeah, it's going to be Pastor Jonathan Tate this Saturday. Okay. And, of course, I'll be preaching Sunday. And we'll go back to the book of James. I think we're going to conclude it. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I ain't going to say that. Okay. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay. All right. See you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Today.
Said I woke up to the summer, shining through, calling all my friends, asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new,
today.
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way, the only road I'm walking is the one I pick, catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade,
today.
Ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh. I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm gonna be joyful today. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful today, today. I got the joy down to my heart, down to my heart. Down to my heart, I got the joy, joy down to my heart, down to my heart, down to my heart. I got the J-O-Y down to my heart, down to my heart, down to my heart. I got the joy, joy down to my heart. Today, today.